Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of The Thunder Heists, and I'm joined by my co-host, starting with Rob.
Hello, I'm Rob. I wrote books. Look, here's one.
Proof.
He doesn't. I wrote that one. You lifted the one I wrote.
That's true. But you wrote all of them, so I don't know.
And that is Dirk Ashton.
I am Will White, New York Times best-selling author of the Cradle series.
And Michael Fletcher.
Mike, and I have 2 of my books subtly placed over my shoulder because I pimp on the subtle, though.
did one of them recently do well in the competition?
One of them recently did well in the competition, but not quite as well as Alexander's book. I'm super okay with that. I'm not
It's a
angry
good thing I wrote Alexander's book too.
Nice. And you may have noticed Dirk pretended to be somebody else, and that somebody else has actually joined us in this conversation because we are joined by a very special guest, Will White. Will, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I was not as prepared as the rest of you guys, so I don't have a hard copy book sitting here. I would have held up Paternus. I've got to go get it. If you can go find it, it's on the bookshelf in there in the middle. So I'm Will White. Hi, good to meet you guys. And I am embarrassed to say I did virtually no research or preparation started to this. So
neither
Rob
did we.
Himself as Rob earlier. Well, I didn't realize this was Rob Hayes. Rob, I love your books. Just saying.
Oh, hey, nice.
Really, big fan.
I'm gonna squeeze now
because
you know.
Rob, must be nice. Must now be nice for you to have a fan
Twitter,
on the show, Rob.
Facebook.
Yeah, it's a rare and wonderful thing.
That's right. We don't spend enough time just eulogizing about how good Rob's books are. So it's good. It's good to boost his ego up a bit, Will. So thanks for that.
That's right. That's right.
First of all,
trade shout outs with Dirk.
Nice. Will is holding up the cover of Paternus for our audio listeners.
Right.
And if you worry about preparation, well, we fly by this.
I'm worried about the rock. Perfect. I'm in the right room.
We're not even wearing pants to fly by the seat.
I don't even know what pants are.
That's true, actually. We've seen your shorts in the
Yeah, anyway, we're not doing the Not Safe for Work episode. We've got a very special guest on, so let's pretend that we know what we're doing. First of all, Will, congratulations on hitting the New York Times bestseller list for your latest Cradle book. That is awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it really caught us off guard. It kind of came out of nowhere. I was just working on the next book. And I got a call out of nowhere that we hit the New York Times bestseller list. I was like, no, we didn't. So we
number 14.
Yeah, 13.
13
now.
Yeah, wow. 13 would have been cool too. I don't care. 15's fine. Like anything in the top 15 makes the list. So I don't. It doesn't matter.
I take 1,000.
The number is. I don't care.
You hit that. Is that just like on sheer number of copies sold or?
So it's in this case it's off of it was the I choked and died. It was the audiobook. It's the audiobook version that that hit it, because apparently if you just sell your ebooks on Amazon, you're never gonna qualify.
Right.
So since I'm exclusive to Amazon, ebooks never going to qualify. So I had never attempted to hit the list or thought about it. And we have a deal with Audible Studios where they produce our audiobooks. And right now we're still in the royalty-free period for a lot of my audiobooks. So we haven't, so they've been reporting to us on the amount of audiobooks we've sold, but we don't get to see that information directly. So we weren't really keeping track of how many audiobooks we'd sold. So we didn't realize that we had apparently hit the New York Times for the last month, the New York Times bestseller for the last monthly sales in audio fiction. So it was really cool.
Any idea how many units that takes over a week?
Yeah. Now we know that if you want to hit the New York Times bestseller list, you've apparently got to beat about 20,000 in a month.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we were only on their higher list for a week. So most of those were sold in a week. So, but it was a monthly category. So don't really know.
I just want to add for folks who might not know, Will's latest book hit number one in the Amazon store
for 2 days
of all books in the Amazon store. And to do that, I mean, he had to beat everyone, right? Yep. Every author you've ever heard of. And that is just
for that couple of days. Let's keep it.
It's still a victory.
Oh no,
yeah, it is. I was very excited. I really was.
Top 1,000 is great. Top 100 is stupendous. Top 10 is just, I mean, that's like, oh.
It was funny because before we started recording, I mentioned how excited I was when my first book hit certain milestones. But I really remember when my second book hit the top 100, we get to 98 or 96 or something. And I was so excited.
Yeah.
And it was really, we just celebrated, and it was really exciting. And then last time we hit number one, and it was indeed more exciting.
Yeah.
Well,
even if it just blipped in there for an hour.
And that's what we were expecting too. We were like, any second it's going to fall.
And it didn't. It hung.
It hung on there for almost 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a picture of that little orange tag on the Amazon thing and dine out for it on it for the rest of your life.
So we got a screenshot of it, and my graphic designer who does my covers like made a little like whole poster collage.
Oh, hell yes.
The number one thing. And so we have it on my entryway.
I absolutely believe it. I would have done that for sure.
We're excited.
Yeah.
That is a pretty incredible achievement, especially because I was reading a couple of your blog posts to prepare for this. And yeah, I remember your early blog post back in 2013 talking about how excited you were seeing, I think it was it the first Traveler's Gate book? Was it House of Blades, I think, was the first book that you released?
House of Blades, the first book I released, yeah.
You're just talking about in those blog posts, oh, it's like 3,000 on Amazon. Now it's 2,000 on Amazon. And so it's kind of stupendous to think about how that's climbed.
Oh, it's fun because sometimes I see authors that are getting excited to get into 2,000 and 1,000. And the funny thing is when I'm talking to them about it and when they know I'm in the chat or when I'm talking about it, they always go, well, it's not as high as yours, Will, but I'm still excited. I'm going, dude, I've been here. I know exactly where you're at. I'm happy for you, man. This is awesome. Yeah. So it's fun to celebrate together. So it's always funny when somebody says that to me. I'm like, no, I know exactly how you feel right now. It's great.
Yeah, people forget that you were brand new. Nobody had no idea what was going to happen. And just so we have a little love for the really old people like me and Mike, how old were you when your first book came out, Mike?
23.
Wow, that's my age.
That's awesome.
Yeah, hey.
No, it's not. You're 12, Jed.
I do pretend to be about twice my age just so I can legally be on this podcast. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, well, now I need to up my game, clearly. I've got how many years to
slacker.
So can you talk to us a little bit about your journey from that? Like when you first put your book out, was it something that you wanted to do, you know, kind of full time? Was it sort of a hobby thing? And then how did it progress from that stage on?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was actually, I had just finished my second year in grad school for creative writing. So I was doing a 3-year program in 2 years because that was as long as my job was going to last. So I was like, that's as long as I can afford to be there. And for my second year, I was working on I realized after my first year was up, man, I'm halfway through a master's degree in creative writing and I've never written a novel. So I wanted to one day, but all I'd written were short stories. And so I was like, okay. And so my family had kind of pressured me into it. And I was talking about, I was like, all right, well, I got to put my money where my mouth is and at least try to write a novel. And the deal I had made with my family was I have to try to write a novel and I have to try to get it published. So this was 2012. So at that point, Kindle Direct Publishing was just becoming a thing. It was very new at that point. So, but I had still read some titles that were published directly on Kindle. So I had started looking into that. And of course, in grad school, they don't teach you how to get anything done. But I had been looking at it on my own and I'd been doing some research. And so as I was writing it, I was going, well, what I can do is this book won't be good because I'm going to write it and it's going to be bad. But I'm going to write it and then I can offer it directly to the readers and we can see if there is an audience out there for this kind of action focused, really stripped down fantasy experience that I feel like I want. And then we'll see if there's other people out there who want that too. And I was like, and if there are, then I can leverage it into a real publishing deal later. So that was what I did in 2012, working on House of Blades. I finished it. I put it up on Amazon on June 1st, 2013. And then I spent the next about a week sort of pimping it however I could. I was speaking in my old high school that I graduated from. I was handing out cards at Barnes and Noble. I was just doing just random stuff. It didn't work at all. I sold maybe like 10 copies from that. And then, I ended up forcing like, I don't know, 200 copies, but most of those were from people who were just knew me, like my family and my friends, people who were just bought it because my name was on the cover. So that's it. So then it kind of bottomed out in sales, but after a few more days, it started picking back up again. We started selling 10, 15, 20 a day. And we realized that word of mouth was getting around somehow and people were finding it on the Amazon recommendations. They were seeing it and they were giving it a shot. And then they were recommending it to people. So we were seeing a little bit of activity on forums and it started really picking up. And it really hit max momentum a few weeks later. And when in one day it went from like 80 sales to like 110 sales to like 250 and 300 the next day.
Wow.
And I was at a little tiny convention in St. Augustine when that happened. And I got the call and they were like, I don't know what you're doing there at that convention, but whatever it is, keep doing it. It had nothing to do with me at all. We realized later, but
were you doing any advertising, paid advertising at all? Nope. Wow.
Totally
that's what we like to call the Wild West days of KU.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? It's the Wild West. It's the golden age. Yeah. It was a weird time.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I published first trilogy back in 2013 and I had a similar sort of thing where it just sort of like, nothing for a few days and then suddenly it just started picking up and selling tons and I wasn't doing anything. I like handed out business cards at pubs and stuff trying to get sales when I was first doing it. Bizarre. But yeah, and it took off then as well. And then I decided to sign with a publisher and kiss that all away. I should have been more like Will White.
You could have been more like Will White. That's the moral of this story.
I tell myself that every day.
Will do.
I don't want to be more like Will White. I want to be Will White.
Oh no.
Look at the bunch of suckers.
Dirk's going to try and assimilate somebody else.
That's what I used to say about Brandon Sanderson, that I was going to wear him like a skin suit. But, that became increasingly less appropriate as time went on.
Yeah. So how did it kind of progress from there? So the first book, had a little bit of a kind of organic word of mouth spike. What were you doing at the time? Were you still in grad school? Were you like, when did you start?
That was what was funny is I spent my entire second year of grad school working on the book and while I was working on my master's thesis. So it was the slowest I've ever written a book. And I finished it and put it out right after I graduated. Hmm. And I didn't know. So I was pursuing another teaching position in the fall, but they didn't know. And they were going to know until like July, whether they had any positions open for August. So for a couple of months, I was like, I'm in limbo, man, I'm doing anything. So what I was really hoping, my goals for the book were, I hope I can make like $500 on this so that I can break even and make $400 or $500 so that I can live for the next month or two before I see if I have a job. Yeah. So that was my goal. My highest goal was maybe over the course of this whole 12 months, year, we can make $20,000 so that I can live and write another one.
Yeah.
So that was my highest ambitions. My highest ambitions were not very high, it turns out. So, but continuing that trend, we didn't know when we were going to run out of people on House of Blades. So when it started selling 300 a day, and then it stayed there for a few days and started going down. But we thought at any day, it's going to go from 150 a day to copies sold a day to zero. It's just going to bottom right out at any time. And we kept hitting these plateaus. We had no idea how long they were going to last or how low the next plateau was going to be. So I rushed out my next book. I wrote it in 2 months. It was the Crimson Vault sequel to House of Blades, second book of the trilogy. I wrote it in 2 months, and it's 50% longer than House of Blades. So it was one of those Mark Twain scenarios where I wrote a long book because I didn't have time to write a short one. But nice. We released it on August 24th or 27th, something like that. We released it in late August, and we were expecting to have to keep the wheels turning. And we released it, and it released and sold 1,000 copies on day one. And it kept the, we had no idea what to expect. That was more. And it kept the wheels turning, kept it going. And then I took a little more reasonable amount of time on the next one. So 6 more months, and then finished out the trilogy, and it performed about as well as 2 did. And we just kept the wheels turning. And so we ended up by the end of the year, having released 3 books and sold over 100,000 total copies.
Wow.
Awesome. Yeah, now, who was helping you early on? Was it just you? How quickly did you have to pull on your team?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was mostly my family helping me out.
Yeah.
We were kind of just doing whatever we could. So they were the ones that were helping me stay isolated and stay on track. They were the ones helping me like I told you, we did this tiny convention at St. Augustine. They came with me, and they were the ones helping. Okay, we don't have anything for a booth. So they ran over to the FedEx store and got some posters blown up to high side, which, by the way, this is cutting into like our entire book budget for the day, we thought.
Yeah.
So this is too expensive, but we did it anyway. And so they've been working with me basically from day one, and now I'm able to employ my entire family, which is pretty cool.
That is awesome. Who is it? It's your brother.
Yeah. So my brother is doing social media now. My dad is doing business manager kind of stuff.
Nice.
And my mom is helping with the merch store, which is why I have this hat on. And my sister is about to come over from the contracts department of Walt Disney World to take over contract negotiations and business administration.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you're pulling people from Disney, you're like, yeah, no, I'm dead.
That's what I've been telling people, is I've been stealing people away from Disney.
Yeah. What a power move. Wow. That's that's awesome, Will.
I mean, there are still so many people in the business who know, right? And so many readers around who know Brandon Sanderson and G.R.R. Martin and Neil Gaiman and Art and J.K. Rowling, but they don't realize that there are people like Will who sell just as many books, if not more.
If not more, if the number one on Amazon is anything to go by.
It's no exaggeration to say that Will is one of the most popular fantasy writers in the world today. It's just true. It's true, though.
He's on our podcast.
And I like to mention that stuff because people talk about self-pub, right?
Yeah.
But it's not nothing.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny you say that about the self-pub thing, because the entire time I've been trying to, after I say that I'm independently published, I have to use some, it's always with words that I change, have to change in order
even
to go.
Even now,
it's a real book. It's not your uncle who self-published his own, printed in his basement, his book on, you know, local animal husbandry.
It's not a vanity press, which it was always called in my day.
Yeah. And so that's what people still assumed. So I kept working my way up, I kept using different language to try and figure it out. So the best I could. But the most awkward phase was when I had to use like just raw book sales numbers. Because first of all, most people don't know what a lot of book sales is.
No.
It's like, yeah, we've sold over 20,000 copies. They're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, they just don't.
I had the reaction not too long ago where I said, you know, I hit number one on the Amazon Kindle store. And they were like, oh, cool. That's neat. That must have been fun for you.
And one of the first questions I always get, and I know everybody always gets, is, okay, well, which bookstores can I buy your book in? And I'm like,
yes,
none.
And when you say none, they go, oh, so you're not a real.
Yeah. Now you're to the point. I mean, I would be surprised if you have you looked into using someone, talking to someone like Sean Speakman at Grim Oak Press, who handles the bookstore stuff for like Michael J. Sullivan, also one of the biggest fantasy authors. But he does that. So he straddles both fences.
Yeah. We've
both
talked
sides
to
of the fence.
Yeah. We've talked to people about getting in bookstores. It is one of those things right now where we have just now started assembling enough of a team to have the energy.
It's a big deal. Yeah. I know that Robin, Mike's wife, works really hard on just that part of it.
It was really just it's a time and energy investment thing. So we were going, how much of a return are we going to get from bookstore sales? I mean, is it going to be enough to worth pursuing this and trying to get a bookstore?
It does.
Yeah.
There's a potential to open up a whole new market who've never heard of Will White.
Yeah.
But would it be worth it depending on the
that's the question. So we're slowly making progress on that front, but that's, you know, I don't know what to say. And so the funny thing is the language I've really been working on, now that we've hit the New York Times bestseller list, I don't have to use it anymore. Now I can just say New York Times bestselling author, and then people
seriously, that's
pretty handy way to describe what you're up to
now.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to go back and republish all these with New York Times best-selling author.
Just everything ever.
Dirk Ashton.
That was the first thing I mentioned my graphic designer earlier, and that's what the first thing he said is, we're going back and we're putting them all on the covers. And I said, no, I'm just going to get a facial tattoo. That's what I just right across the
head. Right here on your neck.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
That's where it's classy.
Right there.
I think we're going to have a brief break in this conversation because we've coming up to about half an hour for our first episode. So we'll be back for episode next week. So this is part one of a part two discussion, I guess. Just before we head off, I want to give a quick Patreon shout out to our latest Patreon Bender, who is a big fan of the Cradle series, Will. He sent me a bunch of questions about Cradle. A lot of them I was like, I think these are for later books because I don't actually understand them and they're very specific.
That makes sense.
But yeah, big fan of yours. So if you want to help support the show, just head on to patreon.com/wizardswarriorswords and you can get a whole bunch of cool bonuses there. All right. So thank you for listening to this episode. We'll be back for the people who are recording this episode with me in about 30 seconds. But for the rest of you, it'll be next week.
We're so organized.
Slick.
Bye, everybody. Okay. Change your shirts real quick.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe for new episodes every single Monday. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.